with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21, John chapter 21. And we today, Brother Ramey, are finishing up the Gospel of John. All right. And as you're turning over there to John 21, next Sunday, by the grace of God, we're beginning a new study in the book of Acts. And looking forward to that book, the Acts of the Apostles. Some call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But we are going to be beginning a study there in the book of Acts and looking forward to that, seeing the early church, seeing the early foundation there of that church as it's founded on Christ and the person of Christ. And as churches are being born throughout the book of Acts, it'll be a wonderful thing for us to review and to see God's work in His hand and to maybe try to catch some of that vision and fire that the early church had for the glory of Christ. But John chapter 21, today we're going to read verses 15 through 25. If you'd stand with me this morning as we give honor, give reverence to the Word of God itself. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. I'll read the first, we'll read the second together, and so forth through the passage. John chapter 21, verse 15. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, whom also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went his saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they would be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer here this morning and ask His blessing upon our time in His Word. Father, we do thank You for this day, another Lord's Day. What a wonderful day, the first day of the week, where we come, my Lord, and where we give this day, we commit it to You, and we ask that You would meet here with us today. It is Your day. Bless this day and use this day to draw Your people closer to You. Lord, show us the areas of our lives, Lord, where maybe we are failing or where maybe there is compromise. And Lord, today, show us and encourage us, O God, to surrender these to You, that Christ may be more greatly manifest and seen in our lives, that He might be glorified. And Lord, I pray for those here this morning that maybe have not made a commitment of their faith to Christ, that today, O God, they would see under the conviction of Thy Spirit a work that only You can do by drawing them unto Yourself, that they would see today their need of salvation that comes only through the finished work of Jesus Christ and through the person of Christ, and that today they would call upon His name for their salvation. God, I commit this service to You today. Without You, I can do nothing. With You, all things can be accomplished. And today, if You will bless Your Spirit to bless Your Word, I believe great and mighty things can be accomplished for Your name and for Your glory. Be with our young ones downstairs and the junior church workers as they
minister the Word of God. Thank you for their labor there today. And in that very same way, thy Spirit to bless their teaching of your Word to the young hearts and ears that are listening, that you would prepare them for lives to be lived for the glory of your praise. Thank you again, Lord. We ask again now your blessing upon this time, and it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. As we come here to the last chapter in the Gospel of John, and what a wonderful journey we have had in John's Gospel, we come to the second part of John chapter 21, the first part being last week, verses 1 through 14, as the Lord challenged them with fishing and really using more of the fishing analogy. And as we spoke last week about us being fishers of men, well, today it is changing from being a fisherman to being a shepherd, all right? Last week, from being a fisherman concerning evangelism, being a fisher of men for Christ, to this week, being a shepherd, a feeder, someone who is encouraging those that have received Christ and building them up in their relationship with Christ through the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Last week, it was more to the disciples in general. This week in our passage, it is more to Peter specifically, which is interesting. As we consider this, and that Christ, after the dinner here, if they have eaten, and Christ had said, come and dine, and welcome them to come to this time of fellowship, after they had finished, while they are there, Christ is going to come and speak with Peter. Now, it's significant that it's Peter that he's speaking with, because if you remember, Peter had had an issue before the crucifixion of Christ. Do you remember when he denies Christ, and he's going to deny him three times, though he said, Lord, I'll never do this. He does this, and he denies Christ. Now, we know from Scripture that after the resurrection, that Christ first appears to Peter. So he has had a meeting with Peter, but the Bible really doesn't give us any information about that meeting. Luke's Gospel tells us, and 1 Corinthians tells us, that Christ appeared to Peter after the resurrection, but we don't know anything about the meeting. But evidently, whatever that meeting was, and whatever appearance that Christ made there with Peter, there is still more work here to be done in the heart of Peter, because Christ is bringing up some specific issues here to Peter. Now, some would say, and I would agree, that Peter's testimony and his denial of Christ was a public denial. So it wasn't just between Christ and Peter, because it was public. Many others knew about it. Therefore, this is a public reinstatement of Peter, that he truly is an apostle, that he's back in a right relationship with Christ, and that he was to be the leader even of the apostles, as we see from the teachings of Scripture, that though he was one of the 12, it seems that Peter was to be a leader of the 12. And so here it is, a public, if you want to think of it, this reinstatement of Peter, or even as Christ coming to Peter, making sure that things are right between him and his Lord. And aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't allow us just to go on in life with sin in our hearts, with a fellowship that's broken with the Lord, that the Lord comes to us, even when we don't come to him and confess that he comes to us. Sometimes he has to chasten us, that he might bring us back into that right relationship. Aren't you glad that he comes to us and seeks us out, that fellowship can continue with him? Well, that's kind of what's happening, I believe, right here in this last part of John chapter 21. Now, I want to break it up into three areas before our concluding verses there in verses 24 and 25, but take these verses and kind of break them up in this conversation of Christ and Peter into three areas, all right? Three areas. The first one that we're going to look at is verses 15 through 17, and the question that's going to need to be answered here by Peter is, who is holding Peter's affections? Who's holding his affections? And it's a question that we can ask to each one of us here this morning, especially those of us who know the Lord as Lord and Savior. Who's holding our affections? Because the truth here is that the Lord needs to be holding our affections, that he is worthy of our affections, of our love, and that he is worthy of all our love. Not part of our love, not 98, 99% of our love. He is worthy of all our love, of all our affection. So we begin here in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, when you study or when you read different authors on this, more than these, the first question has to be answered, what are the these? What is he speaking about Christ, because in the Greek language it's kind of hard to tell. Is it a person or persons? Is it human? Or is it something that's not human that Christ is speaking about? What are the these that possibly Christ is questioning Peter's love for? I think there's the possibility of three different answers, but only two, I think, biblical possibilities for what they could be. Some would say that what Christ is speaking about here to Peter is, do you see now, Peter, and I'm paraphrasing, do you see now, Peter, that you don't love me more than the other apostles, basically? Because do you remember when over there in Matthew, was it chapter 26 or 25, when Christ is speaking with Peter and Peter's going to make that statement, Lord, though everybody else is not going to follow you, though everyone else is going to fall away, I'm going to stay true to you. I'm not going to fall away. And what does Christ tell Peter? Look, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. You're going to deny me three times. Lord, though everybody else does, it's not going to be me that does that. So in essence, you can kind of see with Peter a pride, can you not? And what happens when pride comes into our life? We're setting ourselves up for a big what? A big fall. He's saying, Lord, though these other guys, they don't love you like I love you, they aren't concerned for you as I am, and though they may fall away, though they may kind of wilt when the fire in the kitchen gets hot, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay strong, and I'm going to follow you. He should have been on his knees right there. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, give me grace not to fall away, because I'm just as weak as my brother over here. It could be me. I need your strength. And that's, by the way we need to live our lives. Anytime we begin to think, well, that guy fell into adultery, but I could never do that. Buddy, you're setting yourself up for a big-time fall. Because Satan's going to show you who you are, because you're kind of lifting yourself up. That could never happen to me. And in your pride, you're deceiving yourself because you're trusting in your own strength. I'm going to say this again. I've said it in our church many times, especially, I don't know if it's been on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. But my friends, if David, a man after God's own heart, if he fell into adultery, anyone in this room is capable of that same sin. Anyone is. And what we need to be is just on our knees before God, Lord, keep me from temptation. Lord, protect me because I am a sinner. I am a man who often gives in to my sensual or my lustful desires, and I am just as capable as any man of committing this sin. God, protect me from sin. God, keep me from sin. Do you remember when they're in the garden before the Lord's crucifixion? What is he pleading with his disciples to pray? How is Christ praying? Luke tells us Christ is praying with great agony before God as sweat drops of blood come to his head as he's praying, oh God, give me the grace to take this cup and to drink this cup and for your will to be done through my life. He is showing us a picture as man of what our attitude needs to be towards sin as we come before God and we plead with God for the grace and power, not for our flesh to be lived through us, but that Christ might be lived through us. But the disciples are doing what when they should have been praying? They're sleeping. They don't realize the battle, the war that's taking place, the spiritual warfare that's happening. They don't understand their need of the great trial that's just around the corner that night, that's going to confront them that next day, as they all are going to forsake him, the scriptures say, and walk away from God, from the Lord. Do you think that night before, if they would have been just as intense in their prayers and pleadings with the Lord, that maybe that next day they would have had the grace to go through it for the glory of God? I believe that grace is there. So my first thought here is that is a possibility of what these were, that the Lord is now confronting Peter with his pride, and he's saying here to Peter, look, do you now see that you don't love me more than these? Okay, that's some that argue that. Now, there's a second thought, and this would be the one that I would be more towards, that the these is speaking about the things that were there, the fishing equipment, the boat, the old life, the fish even that were just caught. Peter, do you love me more than these old things that you used to be around? I think the song that was just sung with Ken and Beth, it takes more of that position as well. And for me, that seems to fit better with the text. But if you hold the other position, look, you're not a heretic. That's a good biblical, there's biblical reasons to believe that. That's fine. But again, just coming back, I believe that it would lean towards this. So here we see then the thought that What was now the purpose of Peter's life? Notice in our text how the Lord refers to Peter in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, notice now this is Jesus speaking right here, Simon, son of Jonas. What's interesting about that is Peter's name before his relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who Peter used to be. He was Simon, son of Jonas. But who is he now in Christ? Who is he now after his relationship with Christ? What is his name now? It's Peter. This rock, right? This stone, Peter. For Christ, to live for Christ, you are now Peter. That's who you are now in Jesus. But then why does Christ refer to him by his old name? Who he was before? Could it be that Peter is reverting back to who he used to be before Christ? And now the Lord is calling him by this name because this is who he is acting as. This is not who you are. You're no longer Simon, son of Jonas. You're now Peter, the apostle. But you're acting like Simon, the son of Jonas. You're acting like you used to act before you met me. Now you think about that for a moment. By the way, Christians, believers, we have a new name that's written down in heaven, right? There's a new name the Lord has for us. I don't know what that's going to be. But the Lord's got a new name for every born-again believer. But are there times where the Lord comes to me or where the Lord comes to you and he refers to us by our old names because we're acting like who we used to be before we met Christ? Do you see that if there's been a time in our life when we've met Christ, our life changed, did it not? I mean, that is one of the distinguishing marks of a true believer. A true believer is someone whose life was going this direction with the world, and it's marked by a distinguishing change because something took place. And that life now changed and is headed a whole new direction. Why? Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When did you become a new creature in Jesus Christ? Say, well, I've always believed. No. Maybe you always had an intellectual belief, a historical belief that Jesus was the Christ. But when did your heart come to repentance? And when were you born of the Spirit of God? And when did you become a new believer in Jesus Christ, a new creature? That's the question. How many times people say, I've always believed. Oh, I've always believed. I've always believed. It's wonderful that you've believed. But when did you come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ? Because everyone has to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, except you be born again, you're not going to see the kingdom, right? John 3:3. That being born again is not speaking about being born of water, a baptism. It's speaking about being born of his Spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit is of the Spirit. You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit of God. You must have that time where Christ entered into your life and where you're birthed and you're born and you become a new creature in Christ. I don't care about religion. I don't care about your baptism. I don't care about all the other stuff that's in your life. The only thing that matters is, are you born of the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ? So, Peter's had this time. He has met the Lord. He has a relationship with Christ, but he's gone back to his old ways. So Christ refers to him as Simon, son of Jonas. Now, as we turn here and we see here, as we look in this passage, and I've got to move quickly here, but in these verses 15 and 16 and 17, the Lord is going to question his love. Now, some would say that there's a difference in words, and I don't have time to go through all this morning because of the word phileo that is used where Christ says, do you love me? And the Greek word agape love, the sacrificial love, the divine love of God, do you love me with this love? And Peter replies with what kind of love? With the phileo love, which is an affectionate love. And so some try to draw a distinction between those loves. But I don't think that that's what's the important part right here, because in John's gospel, oftentimes he interchanges phileo and agape. For example, John 3:16, it's agape love. But we look over in John 5 when he's speaking of a similar thing, it's phileo love. God phileo loves the world. In one place, it speaks of, in John's gospel, where he loves the Son. Agape loves the Son. But in another place, it refers to his love for the Son with a phileo love. So it seems to be interchangeable, phileo and agape, in John's gospel. I'm not saying that there are not times when the study of those words is beneficial to that text that we're studying. I'm just not sure that here, that is really the significant thought that we need to focus on this morning. Because even the Lord, as you come down to the third time, when the Lord is speaking here to Peter in verse 17, and he's going to ask him, do you love me? Even the Lord now is using the phileo love here the third time. Do you love me? Phileo me. With this affectionate love, if you will. But the main emphasis here is, does Peter truly love the Lord? Is he affectionate towards him and towards the things of God? Or are there other things in Peter's life that he has affections for, that he still loves, that he is still allowing in some places and areas of his heart for those things to be first, for these things to be more affectionate about? Did you know that we did a study a while back on the attributes of God on Wednesday nights? And one of the attributes of God was, God is a jealous God, but God is not jealous in a sinful way. But God is jealous. And he is jealous, my friends, of you, his possession. If you belong to him, he is jealous of you. And purely, wholly, how can we say this? Rightly so. And he wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. Oh, we were singing about it this morning. More love to thee. And in that part of the Christian walk, in the Christian faith, is when we get saved, and hallelujah, the change that takes place in our life when we trusted in Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? And all of a sudden, you know, you get saved, and all you know is this, I got this new relationship, I got this new way of thinking, God has changed my mind, and boy, all things are new, and this is wonderful. And then you start this walk with the Lord. Well, as you start this walk with the Lord, what's the Lord begin to do? He begins to show you areas of your past that need to be changed. Now, sometimes we don't like that. I've done this since I was a child, right? This is the way I've always handled problems in my life like this before. This is how I've handled these issues and problems in my life. And so what do we want to do? We want to revert back to who we were before Christ. Well, the Lord's showing us, you know what? That's not who you are anymore. That's who you used to be before me. But now in me, you're a new creature. And now there's a new way for you to act. And you need to put off that old man of who you were before. And now you need to put on that new man of who you are now in Jesus Christ. And start to apply biblical principles and truths to your life. Because I have not only redeemed you from the penalty of your sin, I have redeemed you from the power of sin to now live a different way. Man, that's just as much of salvation as redemption of our souls from hell, and the penalty that we owe God is the redemption of our lives from sin and living a new way for His glory. That's one of the purposes of our salvation. And so we think about this and we consider this and we think about Peter here and the Lord questioning Peter here. That's a question we have to ask ourselves. Who has our affections? Does the Lord have all of us? Or are there things in our lives that we are affectionate towards? Yeah, it could be a TV series on television. I'm not saying TV's wrong. I'm just saying if we're thinking about TV or some program on TV and we can't wait for that thing to be on TV and we're just consumed with that thing on TV, the story that's taking place in that thing, better start checking your heart. I mean, in our thought life, we should have a lot of thoughts and meditations about whom? About the Lord and the things of God. It could be basketball. It could be a sport. Are these tennis shoes and this basketball and this credit you get before man as you go out to play or you go out to this sport to participate, do you love that more than me? Derek, do you love these things more than me? Well, you, Lord, you know that I love you. Yeah, but Derek, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, but Derek, do you really truly love me more than these? Lord, you know all things. God, I love you. Nothing else, Lord, is more important to me than you and my relationship with you. That's what matters. See, the Lord is bringing Peter to this conclusion. He's bringing him to this end, and Peter comes to that end. Lord, you know. And aren't you glad, again, that the Lord doesn't let us get away with these kind of frivolous little answers that we speak from our head? He's not satisfied with that. He wants to get to the heart. He doesn't want the words of your mouth. He wants the worship of your heart. That's what he wants. Oh, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I do confess that you're more important to me than anything else. All right then, Peter. If that's true, then what does the Lord want him to do? Then you feed my sheep. Peter, if you really do love me, and I am more important to you than these things, then Peter, I want you to care for my sheep. Do you know that we prove our love? Now, for Peter, it's a little bit different. He was an apostle. He's going to teach God's word. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But do you know that we prove our love for the Lord by loving his people? By caring for his people? That when we see a brother or a sister in need, or we can be a blessing to them in some way, that when we go to them and we meet that need for them, do you know that we're showing and proving our love to the Lord? You see, when we think everything is about us, we were at Luke's game yesterday. And the guy who was sitting in front of me had a band on his wrist. And on the band on his wrist, it was written there, "I am second." Now, I can improve that a little bit. I am last. Christ is first. Others are second. I am last. And I am a servant for Christ's sake. And as I go and as I wash the feet of God's people and as I humbly serve them, I am by that act proving my true love and devotion to my Lord and to my King. Does it get any more practical than that, people? Does it? I mean, the Lord, the Bible is pretty simple in many ways, is it not? And the Lord is just teaching us here, Peter, if you really love me, then you need to feed and care for and oversee my sheep. Because, Peter, this is how your love and your affection for me is going to be proved. Let me ask you a question, church. And I have to ask myself the same question. How much time do I serve God's people by praying for God's people? Do you remember my good friend, who I've never met, but one day look forward to greeting in glory, over there in Colossians chapter 4, he has just inspired me, convicted me, but I absolutely love this man, Epaphras. I've probably preached on him almost more than anybody in Scripture as I was a missionary and traveling around, but his example of prayer, what did Paul say about him in Colossians chapter 4? He has proved his love for you. He has proved that he loves you, even though he's here in prison with me. He has proved his zeal. He has proved his love for you by agonizing for you in prayer. He's not praying for himself or for his deliverance or for what would work best for him or for his life. He has such a burden for you that though he's here with me and though Rome wants to restrict our ministry, Rome cannot restrict his ministry because he continues on in prayer and he's laboring fervently for you in his prayer life. He has proved his love for you. Do you know that when we pray for others, and we begin to labor fervently for them in prayer, maybe even we weep with them in prayer, and we begin to pray for them, we're proving our love to the Lord. Because as you serve His people, as you love His people, as you tend to His people, you're loving Christ. As I love others, I love Him. Because these are His beloved ones. In fact, that very last part there, it's kind of interesting, 17, where he says, "Feed my sheep." I've read that in the Greek there. It's speaking of, "Feed my dear sheep." These ones who are dear to my heart, these ones who are precious unto me. As you tend them, as you oversee them, as you feed my precious sheep, you're proving your affection and your love for me. Now, if you were a bunch of pastors, I'd be preaching this text a little bit differently this morning. But in an essence, you are pastors in a different sense as you minister to others for the glory of Christ. As you shepherd them, not in the sense, again, of the pastoral office of shepherd, but as you minister the things of God to them, you prove your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go on to the second thought. Verses 18 and 19. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. These things he signifying by what death he should glorify God, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, and this is just astounding to me, follow me. What has the Lord just done here with Peter? He has just told Peter his future. What was the future of Peter? His hands are going to be extended. He is going to die a martyr's death for Christ. And church history speaks about exactly how Peter dies. He died by crucifixion. And there's even some story that when he died and they were going to crucify him, is it true or not, I don't know. But he said, I don't want to be crucified like my Lord. And so they crucified him upside down. He said, I'm unworthy to die as he died. This is going to be 30 years later, by the way, that Peter's going to die this death. So the Lord comes here to Peter, and he's going to tell Peter, listen, Peter, this is your future. You're going to die a martyr's death. That last part. Now follow me. Do you see how the Lord seems to want us to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And though most of us in this room are not going to die martyr's deaths, I mean, how many of us in here, and I'm going to say this, are going to have the privilege to die a martyr's death for Christ? Possibly nobody in the room. But here's what I'm saying. That as we look in the Scripture here and as we see this truth, we should be willing to serve Him unto death if that's what it means. If that's the path that Christ has for me, am I willing now to follow Him knowing where this path is going? And for us here this morning, what's it mean to us? Here, Christians, 21st century, Faith Baptist Church right here, Raymore, Missouri. What does this mean to us? Am I willing to serve Him and follow Him, even if it means I might have to offend family? Even if it means I might lose some friendships? Even if it means that I might have to lose a job by following my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, am I willing to follow Him? What is going to happen that day when it seems to be heading this direction in our country and you hear them speaking on news programs and so forth as they're interviewed, when this thing with the Bible and with the world out here, listen, in America, they used to kind of think America was based on the Word of God, but now there's a great majority who feel like America is not based on the Word of God. So rather than having a biblical view, we're now accepting a worldview. And many of our churches, rather than having a biblical view, are accepting a worldview. And what's happening? They're drifting away from the truth. And the country drifting away from truth. So now we're coming to this point where it's debatable. Homosexuality is now debatable. Is this wrong or is this right? Who can say? I tell you who can say. God can say. That's who can say. And He says it's sin. Listen, we are to love the homosexual. And I love them. And I want to see them one to Jesus Christ. But my friend, they've been trying to prove this for years and years and years, and they can't prove it, that it's more of a physical thing. That there's an extra chromosome or something that they have that causes them to be this way. Can't find it. It's not there. And guess what? You're never going to find it. Because it's a decision that they've made. All I'm saying this morning is this. When it comes to this time, when I can, the government's going to say, you talk that way, you preach that way, that's hate speech, we're going to put you in jail. Well, I have a decision to make. Who am I here to serve? Am I here to please man? Or am I here to serve the living God? Wasn't it interesting a couple of Sunday nights ago when we looked at that phrase concerning Joshua when he is called after his death, by the way, the servant of the Lord? And there were two, for me, two distinguishing factors. Only Moses had been called the servant of the Lord and Joshua had been called the servant of the Lord. Two distinguishing factors that they were called that. Number one, they were both called that after their lives. They weren't called that during their lives. They were called after their lives that they were the servant of the Lord. And it's the Lord who's calling them the servant of the Lord. So what does that say? They were faithful to death what I had called them to do. They completed the course that I had given them to complete. They were therefore proved themselves to be servants of the Lord. But another distinguishing factor. Paul in Galatians chapter 1, is it verse 10? He shares over there, listen, am I here for the benefit of man? Am I here to please man or am I here to please God? I'm not here to persuade men. I am here to persuade God. I am going to serve God. And what made them servants of the Lord was not only their faithfulness to finish the course that God had given them to do, even though there was difficult trials that they were called to, it was also that you look in their lives, how many times they were confronted by men to change their course, to compromise their course, because this is what man wanted. And both Joshua and Moses said, I'm not doing it. God has given me a course. I'm going to persuade God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to be faithful to God. I want to ask you, can God call you after your death a servant of the Lord? Are you finishing the course that God gave you to finish? And number two, are you living your life for His glory to persuade Him and not man? Because you can't do both. A man can't have two masters. You can't be serving man over here and serving God. You're going to have to make a decision. It's God and it's nobody else. I'm just going to please God with my life. Now, here's the question. Are you willing to follow Him, though He may be calling you to a path of martyrdom, of death to self? I had one passage here I'm just reminded of with Phillips. He wrote this. Peter lived all the rest of his life. 30 years he's going to live this way, knowing his death to come. Peter lived all the rest of his life under the shadow of a cross. Are we living our lives under the shadow of that same cross? Of this is what it means to follow Him? If it means unto death, I am willing to go all the way for Him. I just want Him to be glorified in my life. The second question here that we see for Peter is, who is Peter going to follow? Are you going to follow me? And then we come to the last part just very quickly in verses 20 through 23. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also had leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. A third thing right here, a third question that had to be answered. Who was Peter accountable for? Because what's happened here, they've had the dinner, they're talking, maybe the Lord rises up from that dinner, He says, Peter, follow me. He's just shared with Peter how Peter's going to die. Peter begins to follow Christ and to walk with Christ. It seems that John, the author here of the Gospel of John, he rises up, he begins to follow. Peter's just learned of how he's going to die, so now he's going to ask the Lord this question, well, what about this guy? What's your plan for him? I mean, this isn't the greatest of futures here, knowing that I'm going to, what about him? What's his future? And what's Christ's reply? Keep your nose in your own business, Peter. That's none of your concern. Don't worry about your brother, Peter. That's not your part right now. Your part is just to worry about Peter. You got enough work right there to keep yourself busy. And you know what? If we would learn that truth as Christians, that would make life just such a great blessing. Because we know what's wrong with everybody else's life, but rarely do we know what's wrong with our own lives. And if we would truly turn our eyes from off them and what their problems are to me and what my problems are, we're going to find when we look at self, wow, there's a lot of work right there that needs to be taken care of. And who am I, Romans 14:4, to judge another man's servant? They belong to the Lord. That's the Lord's business where they're going. I just need to focus on me and keep my eyes on Christ. Peter had to turn around to see John, did he not? Anytime Peter takes his eyes off Christ, Peter gets in trouble. I mean, it's all over the New Testament, right? Anytime Peter gets his eyes off of Christ, Peter gets in trouble. And my friends, anytime we take our eyes off of Christ and we start pointing our eyes on others, guess what? We're getting in trouble. We're sinking down in the water. We're sinking down in the muck and the mire. Don't worry about them. You got enough. Just worry about you. Keep your eyes on Christ. You follow Christ for where He's leading you. Peter, are you going to follow me that way? Are you going to follow me? Not concerned about the others. They're my responsibility. I'll take care of them. They're my servants. I will worry about them. Peter, will you just keep your eyes on me, worry about Peter, and you follow me? Wow, there's three truths right there. Aren't they wonderful? Don't you praise God for John chapter 21? Even Ramey can say amen. There's another chapter in John this morning. Hallelujah. In this wonderful conversation that God has preserved for us, that we today can listen and take part in that conversation, the words of Christ with a servant of Christ. And all that we see with Peter, we see in ourselves, do we not this morning? Do I have other affections? Are there other things there that are stealing my affection for Christ? Am I going back and referring back to the old man of who I used to be before Jesus? Am I truly loving Him? Am I truly serving others? Am I truly feeding His sheep, desiring to see His sheep prospering for Christ? Oh, I just want to see them growing in their relationship with Christ. I just want to see them learning of His ways and growing in their sanctification. Oh, I'm praying for their sanctification. I'm praying for their growth in Christ. Do we have that kind of heart? Are we those who are ready to follow Him no matter what that means? No matter if it means I have to go to jail because I'm a Christian. No matter at my school if people are going to mock me and laugh at me because I stand for the Lord or because I pray before our lunch or because I'm trying to witness to others. It doesn't matter to me what man says. I just want to serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to follow Him. I just want to be counted as a disciple of Christ. And are we, thirdly, keeping our eyes focused on Christ and His calling in our life? And the work that He has for us, are we following Him? Or are we, as we are so tempted to do, listen, I have stumbled here. We have all stumbled here. So easy to get our eyes off of the Lord and to turn around and our eyes on others and their issues and their problems. And when we see all of that, we just kind of in pride lift ourselves up. Well, at least I'm not that way. That's just pride. Get your eyes off of them. Just get your eyes on Jesus. Just follow Him. Everything's going to be all right. He's in charge. He's in control. He's got a plan. He's fulfilling that plan. And then we come in our last two verses, and we'll close with this. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things. This is John, by the way. And wrote these things that we know that his testimony is true. You, my friends, have the testimony of an apostle who walked with Jesus, who experienced the miracles of Jesus, who saw the crucifixion of Christ, who saw the resurrection of Christ. He has testified. He has laid this down in the Word of God that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the one, the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes by saying, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. By the way, when John begins his gospel, where does he begin his gospel? In eternity past. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My friend, if we're going to try to span eternity past, are there enough books to record eternity past? Just try it. It's futile. We have here what John has recorded for us, saying there is so much more that to speak about, so much more even that I have experienced in my life as I followed him. But what I have given you, I have found to be important truths and testimonies about his life, because I believe that these truths will bring you to this saving knowledge of Christ. And I'm going to plead with you this morning, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what is hindering you this morning from coming to him and bowing before him and receiving him today as Lord and Savior? John is saying, this was my purpose of my gospel. that you might believe, and that through your belief in Him, you might have life, forgiveness, eternity with Him. I plead with you this morning, if you're here and you're not sure you've ever done this before, receive Christ, will you come this morning? We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Will you come and take my hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm going to have someone take God's word this morning and share with you how you can be sure today. Jesus wants to come into your life. He desires to save you. He says, come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's inviting you to come this morning. Will you take the invitation of Christ? And for Christians this morning, let us ask ourselves the questions that the Lord asked Peter today. Where are our affections? Are we proving our love for Him by our love for others? Are we? Do we have with our Lord a relationship in such where we are committed unto death, ready to take whatever the Lord brings our way? I'm ready for it, Lord. I am committed to You, whatever that means. That's the kind of commitment it takes if you're going to have success over Satan. You have to be committed that way. If you're not, you're going to struggle with sin. You're going to struggle in your Christian walk. You have to be committed that way, or you're going to keep having struggles. I'm just telling you. And thirdly, are we following Him with our eyes focused on Him? Or have we fallen into the sin of turning around and focusing on another brother, even judging him where he is instead of just judging the own sin that's in us and focusing on Christ? I want to encourage you this morning. If the Lord has spoken to you, there's an altar up here for you to come this morning. If it's any of these things, just to lay them before Him. Commit them to Him. Seek His blessing in your life. My friend, He waits for you to come. He knows your hearts. I don't. He knows. Let's go to Him in prayer. As we stand, Brother Jerry's going to come. I'm going to ask, commit this time to Him. Lord, we just thank You for everyone here this morning. Thank You for Your grace and for Your love. Thank You for the salvation we have, eternal and free, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, You know hearts this morning. You know lives. Bless this time of invitation. Use it for Your glory and for Your praise, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Brother